Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help, you save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
Welcome to Street Psychology Podcast. Today's guest is Chaunston Jennings. He's a recognized coach, a speaker, and he's the founder of The Purpose Engine and The Luminary Panel. He helps professionals and entrepreneurs find purpose in their life through powerful coaching, leadership workshops, and curated community vibes. Chaunston, welcome back.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be back. That what things tend to happen, they usually happen for a reason. And for us to be able to stay connected, still have the same energy, be excited about this opportunity to impact your audience, I'm just divinely put into place to be able to do this. So I'm so excited to be here with you. And thanks for having me again.
You're welcome. I really believe in that divine purpose that we talked about last time, and taking everything, reframing everything as something positive.
Yeah.
We talked about the Luminary Panel and how you got started and where you are with it now. Do you mind going back over that for viewers and listeners?
Okay. Absolutely. About 3 years ago, I was an NBA basketball trainer. I was working with youth all the way from kindergarten up to the highest level, which is the NBA professional. I would travel around the country doing tournaments. I found myself in this place of feeling like I'm doing something that I do not love anymore. I only liked it because of the aspect of helping individuals, which is the kids, and using that as a tool to connect with them at a different level. But once I decided to step away from basketball, I didn't know what else to do, but I read this book called The School of Greatness by Lewis Howes. But he wrote that book, and I read it right on time because while I was reading his book, I was living the exact same lifestyle that he was living in his memoir. And he talked about how he was sleeping in his car, and he was bouncing from his aunt's couch to his grandmother's couch, ironically in the same situation. So it gave me a click. I've always had this passion to connect with people. And I always had this passion to be an entrepreneur. But the biggest thing for me was I didn't have the tools necessary to be successful. I didn't have the resources necessary to be successful. I didn't have the information needed to be successful. But I did know that I could connect with people on a whole different level that allowed me to get the information needed. So I created the Luminary Panel. And our tagline is, we connect the aspiring entrepreneur to the inspiring entrepreneur story by becoming a media resource. So with us wanting to become a media resource, we started doing the workshops centered around how we do the podcast. By having conversations, not about what you do and who you are and how you become that thing, it's more so what did you have to go through to become the version of you that you are now that inevitably created a successful entrepreneur out of it. So we were more so intrigued about the story of the individual rather than the accolades of the individual, which changed the game. Because now, fast forward a couple months after we launched our first season and then our second season, we started doing workshops. Last year, we did a workshop each month. And what we'll do is we'll bring in an inspiring entrepreneur, and then I will follow up with a speech at the end of the conversation. We'll have a general topic that allows someone to put themselves in a box that will fit not only in their professional life, but also in their personal life as well. For example, it'll be why partnerships matter. And I have my business partner there. He'll talk about business and the aspect of why partnerships matter and how it cycles back into each other. And then I'll come from a personal development aspect and how important it is to connect with the right people. Does it align with you in a sense of connecting to the bigger vision that you both have and that can collaborate together? We will dance with that ideology. But then I knew that there was more in the tank for me to connect with people in a way where I wanted them to see the vision bigger than they thought they had within themselves. I wanted them to connect with the version of them that they've been running away from to the point where they have no choice but to face it. And usually it comes through losing something, usually losing someone. And that's like the wake up call that we needed, similar to how I started my journey. When setbacks and situations like that happen, it's the indication that you're about to step into the new version of yourself, the version of yourself that's always been there, but you needed this setback to remind you who you were. So that's where the purpose engine came from, because now with that being the mind, I connect people to that rediscovery of what that purpose looks like, so that now every decision that they make is in alignment to that version of them that's been already there, which is our God-given purpose. So that's me. Mm.
The luminary panel is the foundation. The purpose engine is the method.
Yeah. So now what's really cool about the purpose engine is that we have opened the floodgates for other coaches as well. So let's say we have a coach that has the passion, has done coaching before, but they don't want to do any of the marketing. They don't want to do any of the sales. They don't want to do any of the operations. So now we have the coaching agency. So now we have other coaches under our umbrella. Now we give them a platform to succeed and impact people as much as possible. And the funny thing is, a lot of people think that coaching is just this cookie cutter approach. And I'm sure you can relate, because you're a therapist. You've seen people on Instagram or social media, these gurus, and they have the best thing to say, but then people try to implement those things in their life and it doesn't work, right? There's no such thing as a cookie cutter approach to true transformation. I like to say transformation happens when you make it their idea. How do you do that? You ask thought-provoking questions. It causes them to think about the questions that they tend to run away from. And now it becomes this battle between you versus you. You gotta be cooking already, right?
Yep.
We're constantly in this battle, you versus you. There's the version of you that's always winning. You've seen success before. You've been happy. You've been peaceful. You've seen everything work out in your favor. The other version of you is the one that wants you to stay stagnant, stuck, frustrated, upset, anxious, nervous, all these things that do not correlate to the DNA that was given to you, which is positivity, abundance, love, impact. So when transformation is at the core, you got to understand that until somebody is stepping away from this version of themselves where it's negative and they're sick and tired of this version of themselves, they're creating the possibility to remember what their DNA is. Does that make sense? And tell your audience a little bit how this conversation may go in the sense of when I do analogy, so they can understand we're not here to just tell you anything that you don't know. I am here to tell you that there's a new perspective that your situation is trying to tell you. It's about how you see it and not how you think about how it feels in the moment.
So it's easy to get caught up in the feeling associated with the situation. What you're saying is that you help people forget about the feeling, step back and look at the big picture.
That's an excellent way of saying it. I actually use their feelings in a way to help them understand it a little bit better. So obviously emotions, feelings are very important because it gives you the identity to assess the situation. How is this making you feel right now? Because now that becomes chaotic. And if we make chaotic decisions during chaotic situations, we don't get progress. But if we can get chaotic situation, but with clarity in mind, we understand how to dictate this situation. We change it. So I'll say it like this. Obviously, we know this term emotional intelligence, but I think it's overused and it's saturated in a way where people don't fully embrace that feelings are truly your superpower. It's about you allowing it to dictate how you respond versus react. Hmm. You're assessing the situation, you're assessing the feeling, you're assessing the thing that triggered that emotion and responding in a way that brings clarity or progress or gets you closer to the end goal is allowing that emotion to take over. And then it turns into something worse than what it's supposed to. We've all had those situations where somebody says something crazy and we'll react to it. Oh, who are you talking to? So I help people understand that the feelings is actually the key to unlock your potential. How does that happen though? How do we make our emotions unlock the potential? Because if we're a lot more clear about what we're feeling, we're a lot more clear about the decisions that we make. Mm. Because if this feeling is something that is peaceful, or do I feel a gut feeling not to do it? If you're clear about those two feelings, you understand what decision to go with, right? Yeah. Have you ever been to a place and you feel like something ain't right?
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
And then there were times where you felt that and you still kept going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a pretty common human experience.
But what if we were to see that as a trigger, saying, this doesn't feel right? This does feel right. Let me explore this a little bit more. That's the difference, right?
Yeah.
Because with that clarity, I believe if we are, for me, I'm guided by the Holy Spirit and God, right? And God says that we are a being and we're a temple. But we believe that the Spirit of God lives in our soul, which is around our stomach area, which is like the second brain from like a conscious space. Now, the consequence is based off of my decision either to do it or not do it. I mean, the instructions, he told me what to lead with. That means I just need to obey.
When I've talked to you about the faith component of it and how much that played a role in this, so I'm wondering for you, because to be able to determine that feeling, you have that relationship with God. You ask the question, you feel the answer.
Yeah.
What is the work you do to help people get in touch with that feeling and distinguish the difference?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. This is what I do. Because I've understood the importance of presence, I help people identify what made them get to this point. Is it their excitement that's so far past in the future? Or is it their limited beliefs that they used to believe in their past? Once I identify, are they in the future too much or in their past too much? We go back there. We ask why. Why do you want this? Why do you believe this? Who told you this? What made you feel this way? And most times it's traumatic situations. But in reality, if I get that thing, it won't make me feel any different. We see that in celebrities. They end up unaliving themselves because they're unfulfilled. So if people are in their past, they're usually living in a limited belief system, a limited mindset from traumatic experiences that cause them to agree with the thing that did not serve them. Because usually when we're young, we're only going based off of what we see or hear repeatedly. And then our brain starts to connect with that. And then our subconscious starts to connect with that. And then our full body starts to agree with that. So the question was, how do I help people find that within themselves? I help them, or I encourage them to, one, release that version of them that does not serve them. Release it. That's the first thing. The second thing is I make them envision that version of themselves that either did not serve them or they're looking for them to be served by. So if it's the future, they want to be served by. If it does not serve them, it's usually in their past. And then make them psychologically be the other side of that version, right? So, for example, I just had a call with a young lady the other day, and she is one of my biggest success stories that I've had an opportunity to work with so far. She's been through so much traumatic things that she's been told some horrible, horrific things, terrible things. But since working together, she's transformed in an instant, right? We've only been working for about 6 months, but she's transformed completely. There's just some things that are still lingering, and this situation came up recently. She lives like about an hour away from me, and she was coming to town to see our location. Let's meet up. So she's like, I'm a little nervous. What do you mean you're nervous? Like, you've done all this work? And she's like, I don't know. I feel nervous. I don't want people to think when I go on these networking events, I just feel like I don't want people to see me or judge me. All right. So I start to rewind. I was like, okay, where's this coming from? She said, when I was younger, I was told I was dumb. I was stupid. I was fat. I was ugly. I don't want people to think I'm dumb. I don't want people to see me this way. So if you were somebody that was looking at you in this situation, what advice would you give them? I need you to close your eyes. I need you to embrace this moment right now. And I want you to be the best version of yourself right now. So I literally transform her thinking to be that version now rather than later, right? And I started to ask, I started to talk to the second version of herself, the best version of herself, and I made her talk to her old version of herself without realizing it. But as she started to answer these questions, what tend to happen was she started to become more alive about it. Because when you change the state of somebody's being, their belief system and their brain, their subconscious don't know the difference between real or not. So if you can agree with your body to say this is real, for us to get to that point of understanding our gut, we have to be crystal clear where we want to go, where we came from, one. And we got to understand, what are we here on this earth to do? Because if we don't know that, it's going to be tough to understand what we're supposed to do to move forward.
Yeah, you can't get there.
You can't get there. It's just like telling me, oh, you can come over without any instructions, any data, anything like that. If I know exactly where to go, I know exactly how to get there. Right? There's steps, there's instructions, because there's clarity on where I'm going. Right? Yeah. So how do you get that clarity? You get that by, one, understanding who you are, being extremely clear, and sitting in silence. There's this thing called meditation. Yeah.
Yeah.
We all got meditation methods and all that stuff, right? Meditation is good if you're open to receive. You can't go against the quiet. You have to embrace the quiet. Because when you're quiet, you get downloads in a way where is you already know it's not you talking. These downloads come from an exterior place, right? Now we call that flow. Now we're in sync. Now we have a relationship with this voice. If these voices or this voice is telling me to do something positive, I know it's the voice that I need to hear from. And this voice is giving me negative feedback, then that's not the voice I need to hear from. It's that clear. It's that crystal, right? But I believe most people are so afraid of stillness and being quiet and looking at themselves in the mirror to ask themselves the hard questions. They miss that voice all day, every day. The voice is going to talk regardless. It's about you being open to receive it or you open to embrace it.
Because you can receive it without embracing it.
Exactly.
That's where a lot of people get stuck.
That's so good.
You told me a little bit about how people become stuck. You're either going to move forward or backward in that neither one of those directions are going to be good for you mm-hmm. when you need to be in the middle, mm-hmm. in the present. But like you said earlier, you work with helping people believe something different, changing their narrative. But also on the flip side of that, if they're believing the negative stuff and the thoughts that keep them down, they're going to stay down. Mm-hmm. How do you see that happening from your experience in life or with your clients?
We all want to be a part of something as human beings. We want to be a part of a community. We want to be part of something significant surpassed us because it gives us a sense of identity. Living in our future allows me to say, oh, I'm futuristic thinking, I'm growth mindset. I want to be successful, just like everybody does. But someone else's success does not mean that it's meant for me. You mentioned people living in their past. I'm sure we've all experienced people that just don't know anything else but negative talk. Because our mindset is futuristic, it causes us to sometimes second guess ourselves. Most times get drained about it. Oh, this person calling again. But you don't want to be disappointed to them. Hey, girl, how you doing? Oh, now you're not being present. Now you think about the extra things that you could be doing. Later, rather than just having this conversation with this person that's draining you. Here's the kicker. The difference between being goal-minded, growth-minded, which is in the future, being excited about the future, and the difference between living in your past, being present allows you to accept those two realities and create one that's for now, mm-hmm. right?
Accept those two.
For now.
Okay.
Accepting that too. So like understanding this happened to me before. I understand that happened to me and that's okay. I understand I have big goals for myself right now. But if I'm not intentional with what decision I can make ranking second, I'm going to miss that mark. That's why today is the most important, because we're not promised tomorrow. So it may seem like it's easy to just say, hey, you're right here. That's all you can focus on. But most people are so traumatized about their past that they allow their past to be present. It's people that are so futuristic, so growth mindset, that they miss out on opportunities for now. I said this to a client of mine the other day, and this has to do with the past side of it. And then I'll talk about the future side of it too. But I said, there's going to be wounds that you heal from, and then there's going to be wounds that you have to cope with.
Okay. Yeah.
Right? Wounds are meant for you to cope with, because those wounds are the ones that need to be taught
from.
I have a story that I'm healed from it, but now I've learned to use it as a tool to impact other people. My story was, I was sleeping in a car with a one-year-old baby girl. I had to rely on food stamps. I couldn't get to a meeting and get out of the garage when it was only $6. Like, I was dead broke. I went from doing very well, working with top athletes in the world, to rock bottom. Worst part of my life ever. So if I don't teach from that place, it will come off as disingenuous to you. But if I'm teaching from a healed place, I can give it to you in a compassionate way. Because some people that have never been through anything, we don't respect them as much, because we understand that they haven't had the experience to teach me anything.
Wow.
Because of that, we have to understand that some things that happened to you were meant for you only to go through. I understand there's so many bad things that happen to us. We get abused. We get physically abused, emotionally abused, sometimes sexually abused. We've been beaten. Like, all these things are real things. And I'm not saying that you don't forget about it, because it's a real thing. But there's people that need you to heal from it and cope with it in a way where you can teach them how to get through it.
Yes.
Now let's talk about the future. I tapped into the past, right? I'm guilty of this. I was hungry. I had this idea. I knew it was going to work. I just needed to resource it. I didn't have resources at the time, so I had to camp with the right people. And now I'm able to speak to you today. But there were times where, because I was so futuristic, I missed out on small details that could have got me a lot further, a lot quicker.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. Yeah.
So now I'm working up the hill rather than working on a straight plane. The energy behind it, everything matters moving forward. But because I wasn't present, I missed out on opportunities that were truly meant for me, or I missed out on opportunities to say no to because I thought that was the right thing to do. I was moving too fast. If I'm moving too fast, then I miss out on what's right here. Think about this. If I were in this conversation, thinking about the next conversation I want to have next week, and then the next meeting, and then this, and this, I won't be able to connect with you on a different level. The way I connected with you is different how I connected with the podcast from yesterday, and a different podcast the day before. It was the same content, same energy. I just have to meet you where your audience needs to be met. But it takes being present. And now I've become a bigger asset to your platform, rather than me just saying, oh, I'm on another platform, I'm trying to just say some stuff. Everybody wants something to say, and sometimes don't got nothing to say.
Everybody.
We get real.
Please be real.
But it's not that they don't have anything to say. They just don't know how to say it. Thinking that if they oversay something that it sounds smart, that they're seen as an expert. Because they're missing something in their personal life that they want to use this as a shelter, because now they don't see the true me.
So you're saying they might avoid saying something that sounds too great because then they're afraid they're going to be seen as an expert?
The inverse.
Okay.
So most people want to be seen. Everybody, like I said, we all want to be a part of the community. We want to be seen as a podcast expert. We want to be seen as a smart individual. The only reason why I started my company, because I was the version of me now that I needed back then. Mm. That means that I had to become the person that was able to help my younger version. And now I'm able to impact people in a different way. I always like to say this, when we are building something new or starting something like a company or even new idea, new project, it's usually coming from helping our younger self with the tools we needed necessary back then, but now we're helping other people through that pain, right?
Yeah.
But here's the thing. You miss out on the opportunity if you're running away from that version of yourself.
Because you're not aware of it yet.
Bingo.
That's when you would start looking for someone who has lived a similar life to what you're going through at that moment to maybe help you get to that stage.
Absolutely.
Because that's what you did, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to acknowledge that you can't always do it by yourself, but that doesn't mean not to try.
Exactly. Yeah, I was just going to say, if you're going to try your own, try the opposite of what you're already doing. I don't get why people make things so difficult. It's either black or white. Yes or no. Being maybe means you're uncertain. I don't know means you're uncertain. Maybe next time, uncertain. Yes or no gets you to a direction. Most times people are afraid of no. So they say yes because they don't want the pain of no.
So they say yes to things that they shouldn't because they don't want the pain of no.
But in reality, pain equals power. Because if I don't want to do nothing, if I say no, then it's just no. I'm not going to do something that I don't want to do. But if it's just not aligned to who I am, what I want to do, who I'm becoming, then it doesn't fit into that linear line.
You have the power at that point. You said no. You're in control in that moment.
Imagine saying yes to something that you don't want to do. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much effort, energy, and impact can you make in that situation?
Little to none.
You're there to appease people, and you didn't want to disappoint anybody, and you want to be seen as a likable person because you're always the one to be relied on, which is normal. That's cool. But also, think about if you were to say no, and those people that you thought were supposed to rely on you and see how they treat you. What if you were to say no, and that got you closer to the version of you that you wanted to become? What if you said no, and that no was getting you closer to the person that you're supposed to meet? What if you said no, and that no was getting you closer to the opportunity that you wanted to receive? It takes clarity. It takes use, understanding that you love yourself so much, you love people so much, that this is bigger than just me. Whatever I say yes to, this is bigger than me. I have a mentor. Him and I talk about this all the time. He said, you know what? Now that you're doing very well right now, you're starting to see some traction, you're traveling a little bit, you're speaking a little bit, you're getting more podcast appearances a little bit, that you got to understand that every decision that you make or do not make, everything that you say or do not say, you have to reap the consequence of that action based off of what you do or do not do.
You have to reap the consequence.
You have to.
You have to be either, okay with it.
Yeah, either negatively or positively. But now that creates this word called intentionality. Now I have to be more intentional about what I say. Intentional about what I do. I have to be more intentional about where I go. Why? Because now every decision I make is a consequence based off the decision that I make. People are not that intentional. Usually it's centered around work, right? They're like, oh, I'm just going to work. Okay, get a check. You have to work to get some money, right? But that's the main reason why you're at that job. You're doing that job a disservice. And also you're doing yourself a disservice. You're in that relationship. Oh, I'm going to stick it out. I see the potential, but I see all these red flags. You doing yourself a disservice and that other person a disservice. And y'all can find somebody that's going to meet you where you need to be met. This is the trickiest situation Because again, going back to my black and white analogy, it's either yes, this works for me, or it does not work for me. If it does not work for me, I can help you in that area, but it's not going to be me. And this is the problem that we have now. We're choosing other things outside of ourselves. Yes, you want to be generous. Yes, you want to give. But you can't give while you're broke. You got to, like the empty cup analogy, right? I can't pour into somebody if I'm empty. You can't say yes to the things that you don't want to say yes to.
Right.
The no is a power move. The moment I said no was the moment I said yes to me for the first time. And me saying yes to me allowed me to see the perspective that I was missing because I was too futuristic, trying to meet people for them, trying to do things for them, trying to appease them, trying to save their feelings. So now it ain't nobody else's fault but mine.
I love the way you clarified. When I said no for the first time, you said yes to yourself.
Yeah. No.
How do you walk away after saying no for so long and feel okay with that?
That's a fantastic question. The moment I said no to me, it was the hardest thing ever. The reason why I say that is because I was in this perpetual, habitual state of pleasing. I started to feel myself get burnt out, and people would even see it before I would see it, that I didn't even want to be in the place. They were like, do you even want to be here? I mean, yeah, I'll be here. Do you even want to do that? Yeah, I want to do it. Yeah, for sure. Because I'm a very loyal person. And because I admire loyalty, I feel like I should lead with loyalty. And I'm not saying like now I'm waiting on people to prove themselves. I'm just more receptive of when those things, those red flags come up. First time I say yes to myself, I had to sit with myself. I had to understand that now this is a brand new journey. This is something that is beneficial to you. And because now this is for you, everything else now has to work for you because you decided to say yes to those things. And not from a place of you appeasing someone. Now, this is you versus you. The things that you say yes to will reap a consequence. But now that you're clear that this is for you, this yes is going to get you closer to that version of you that you want to become. Mm. So, yeah. The things that I had to do was I had to forgive. I had to forgive myself and give myself grace. One, and the people that I was trying to appease. Because sometimes if you're not quick enough with saying no, these people will take advantage of you. They put you in sticky situations that you don't truly want to be in. So now people are in these situations that they shouldn't be in because they say yes to the wrong people and at the wrong time.
So knowing, getting a sense of others' intentions, that helps.
Yeah.
Because some people, they just see the good in everybody.
Which is okay. And
which is fine. But having that without acknowledging that there's another side to that where that might not always be true is dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're saying people will take advantage and they will ask you to do things that they know you'll say yes to and that they know is not good for you.
Yeah.
Your mental health, your life, your progress.
Yeah, there's this thing called peer pressure.
Yes.
Peer pressure is a thing that people unalive themselves, they lose their lives from peer pressure. They jump into situations from peer pressure. It's because these people are more certain about themselves than they are in you. And they understand that you aren't certain in yourself. So they know that they have ultimate control of what you do next.
So peer pressure is a form of control.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. How? Because of a knowing. If we were to use the word knowing with the word confidence, we understand that I am confident in your shirt is green. How? Mm-hmm. Because of evidence. Because of my own two eyes. But if I were to say, I know for a fact that shirt is yellow. What do we call that? Delusion.
a delusion.
We'll call that delusional. Okay. Right?
Colorblind person.
I don't want y'all to go that extreme.
Okay.
I'm just messing with you.
I'm just messing with you too.
That's true. The colorblind. Here's what I was trying to get at. I'm confident for me that shirt is green because of the evidence that I see. If it was yellow, and I would say that shirt is yellow. Now, if I were to say that shirt is something different from the evidence that I see, then that is called delusion.
Yes.
Like I'm believing something that is disillusional. This vision. Do you see what I'm putting out? Let's bring this full circle. When people are more confident or know something, they can manipulate their words, their actions, and the things that they partake in to make you feel like you're part of something different. Because these people have a confidence that their action will influence your actions. Why? Because you aren't in control of your own actions. So now because you want to be a part of something bigger, you're willing to do whatever it takes to be a part of that bigger thing. Because no leads to more respect. No leads to more dignity. No leads to more identity. No gives you a more clear understanding of what you want or do not want. See, I have a daughter. I have a young daughter. Mm-hmm. I think I mentioned that earlier. She's 3 now. And she only eats bananas, sometimes Chipotle, drinks a ton of water, apples, oranges sometimes, crackers, all these things. But if I were to put some chicken nuggets, and she's going to push that thing away. She's certain, she's confident that she does not want that thing. So now she gets something that she wants because she took control of the decision-making of that food. Mm-hmm. And the same thing in our life. When we are doing things, it has to be what we want to do, not what we feel like we need to do. Needs come from a sacrificial place to stay alive, survive. Want comes from an abundant place because I have the ability to just have access to it and I could just go get it as I please, which is abundant. Love, transformation, openness. So when we transform our mindset from doing the things that we need to do versus what we want to do, we have more decisions to say yes and no. So now this is to go back to how I coach people to make it seem less complex, because people feel like no is going to make them feel like, oh my gosh, I can't do this. You can though. Make it black and white. Let's make it super simple. Let's help you understand the importance of why this is important.
The people that you coach feel if they say no, it's going to be
disappointment
from the other person.
For the other person. And they don't want that feeling because then that ties them to maybe traumatic situations that they disappoint somebody. Because if you think about it, a lot of our patterns now just comes from situations from our past that we used to agree with.
It's at the heart of your coaching is, first of all, to be in touch with who you were. Never lose sight of what you went through to get to where you are today. You feel that it's important for people to become aware of their emotional experiences and what's keeping them stuck in a mindset that's not beneficial.
Correct.
Tend to the awareness, accept it, execute a plan for you before you worry about helping someone else work towards something that's for them.
Yeah, and if you decide to help them, you got to understand that we were meant to collaborate. We're built to connect with people. We're built to give. But if that giving causes you to be drained, unfulfilled, feel like you're forcing it, then it's not serving you.
Okay.
It's causing you to stay stuck because you're trying to please people or please a version of you that's not serving you, that's not allowing you to move forward. All this unfulfillment that's going on around the world is that all we're looking for is peace.
Absolutely.
All we want is a peace of mind. We want peace financially. We want peace physically. We want peace emotionally. We want peace around our relationships. We just want to feel at ease. How do you get that, though? It's by connecting to a source that is a lot bigger than you. A source that has more control over your destiny than you do. A source that gave you the plans, that gave you a purpose for this world. So that means if he gave it to you, that means he know how to fulfill it. Keep running. The moment you keep saying no to that call, because a lot of us already know what that call is, and we decide to do the things outside of that to distract us. And because of that distraction, it causes us to run into more roadblocks. Those roadblocks lead to more destruction, and that destruction leads to more failure, and then that failure leads to more frustration. But until we just say, I surrender, relinquish control, is when we truly start to live a fulfilling life, a purposeful life. And then we start to know that there's things that's bigger than just me and what I can get out of this. Because if you're right, if you're walking in the right direction, if you're moving in the right direction, success is inevitable. Success is inevitable. Now everything else is just love what I'm doing. Like this is not work for me, but I do this for a living. I'm fulfilling a purpose. Now I'm here because I have one person in mind that I want to connect with. And maybe it's more than people, but that one person that connects with this message will be transformed in a different way.
Yeah.
That's what I do it for.
Yeah. Chaunson, do you have a final word that you would like to leave your listeners with?
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah. My one piece of advice, get connected to the source. Maybe it's God, maybe it's Jesus for you, maybe it's Buddha, whatever the case is. I believe in God. I believe in a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the tremendous source that's going to give you the tools necessary so you can be successful. The second thing, you are in the proximity of your purpose, and it's a lot closer than you think. People think that the extrinsic world is going to be the answer to your problems, but in reality, it keeps you a lot further away from what's truly meant for you. When I have that source, when I have that guidance, that instruction, or the divine timing, that divine alignment, you miss the mark. You miss the gift that you have for yourself. So purpose is a lot closer than you think. And that's my advice.
Where can listeners find you?
Just find me everywhere at Chaunson Jennings. I'm on Instagram, LinkedIn. You can Google my name, Chaunson Jennings. Have all my social media and all that stuff there. So I'm looking forward to connecting with you.
Sounds good.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Good one.